Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Everybody, and welcome along to the 2022 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season. We continue our tour of the United States of America and the different types of racing circuits that are available to IMSA. Our schedule has us now at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course for another great weekend of IMSA action, which includes the main series, the Michelin Pilot Challenge, as well as a number of the developmental series too. It's John Heinhoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. We have free practice one live and exclusive here on imsaradio.com and RS2. And we'll be down trackside with Shea Adam next when we go live from Mid-Ohio.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Let's go straight down to Shea Adam down in the pit lane, who is with Turner Motorsport for BMW, and Robbie Foley.
Well, Robbie, it's been a phenomenal turn of events as far as the Lexus Grand Prix goes, because it was won by a Lexus, pole position for Lexus, and then you and Bill Opperlin come along last year and sneak that one away. How good does it feel to come back to Mid-Ohio as defending race winner?
Yeah, it's good. It's a place we know really well, but we have a brand new machine to tackle this track, so it's going to be interesting. We know what we need to be fast here. It's just about extracting it out of our new M4 GT3, which so far has been a good car for us, so we'll see.
You've had a lot of track time already today in the GS car. What have you learned about the circuit that will help you with the M4?
I think here there's a lot of track evolution. In the morning, the track was super slick for the first half of the session, and then it comes in as it takes some rubber, so I think the track temp's reasonably high now, not crazy, but we'll see kind of through the day today and tomorrow, I think, a little bit of track evolution. So it should keep gripping up. What that does to our balance, we're not totally sure because new car, so time will tell.
Well, new car, but at least you've got the track experience from the GS machine to try and balance things out. Is that an advantage for you when it comes to running at a track with a brand new car and very limited testing?
Yeah, I think so. You're already warmed up, and the cars are quite different to drive, but at the same time, you kind of go out with an expectation of where the track is, and you don't have to explore as much as you would if it was your first time out. So I always love doing it. The cars are very different to drive, so it's an adjustment for sure, but I love it.
Good luck today, and better luck tomorrow in qualifying, and even better luck in the race.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Shea Adam will be patrolling pit lane for us throughout this weekend. Jeremy Shaw, as I mentioned, is here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Let's talk about the great teams that are here, but also somebody who's missing. Juan Montoya, otherwise engaged this weekend in Indianapolis for the road course event there. So we've got a super sub in the car that he's supposed to be sharing with Henrik Hegman.
Well, There's various changes this weekend. I mean, lots of people are busy at Indianapolis this weekend. You're right, John. And he's not able to make it for today, but the race in Indianapolis on the road course is on Saturday. The race here, of course, is Sunday. So he can get back here, get qualified for the car, do the warm-up on race day, and off he'll be able to go for the race. And the IPC race, the Prototype Challenge race, which will take place also on Sunday morning, Tony's Kazimetz is going to be doing that race, but he isn't going to drive that car until the race, because this weekend, like Montoya, he's busy in Indianapolis. He does a lot of coaching for the Road to Indy team, so Tony's Kazimetz won't be here either until Sunday.
There's the green flag, and the sound of the engines means that we have got an hour and 30 minutes to go as they roll out of the pit lane. The pit lane made famous, of course, by the coming together of the two Corvettes, which seems about a million years ago. And the cars stream out. Shea Adam down in pit lane. Everyone's going out together, so this is a full free-for-all 90 minutes, is it?
Yep. This is the normal hour and a half practice session. The second practice session, which comes up tomorrow morning, that's the one that's deviated. But I was just standing here talking with Robert McGinnis, because Robert is a guy who's got quite a bit of experience around Mid-Ohio, but not with the roof over your head. Best finish coming in an Indy Lights car. It's going to be a different experience going out in a Lamborghini.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, I haven't been out yet. Jeff just went out to baseline everything, but it's definitely going to be a little bit of an adjustment. But the last time I drove at a track that I knew really well was Indy when I did the 8 hour. And I went from, an Indy Lights car to a GT car, and I seemed to take to that well. So hope that transfers here. I've watched a lot of video, spent some time on the sim, so it'll be good.
This Carbon crew is so good, and adapting to the Lamborghini as well from the Audi last year. Is there any sort of data transfer, though, that they've been able to look at the setup from last year and think this would be a good starting spot for the Lambo?
Oh, definitely. Steve knows exactly what a car needs around Mid-Ohio. He's going to throw that on us now. We're going to test it. We're going to verify it, and it's going to be good. But, not only do we have Steve, who, really knows how to set up this car and set up cars at Mid-Ohio, but we have guys like Jeff who've driven lots of different cars at Mid-Ohio, who is going to, help coach me through this and get me up to speed really quickly.
And Robert, your first ever IMSA podium in a full season effort came at the last race. You had them before with Lexus in the endurance races. What was it like to know that this is contributing to a full season, potentially championship?
I'm loving it. I love the IMSA paddock. The racing is so much fun. I never really considered GT racing. And then once COVID hit, I went and I did an ELMS race. I did the Endurance Cup. And I was like, this is so much more fun than anything I've ever done in the race car. This is what I want to do. So I'm just loving it. This is a great team. This is a great group of people. So they're really making me feel like I'm at home. And the IMSA paddock makes me feel like I'm at home. So I'm having a blast. And I'm so excited. I'm excited in every way. I'm excited for my partners. I'm excited for me. I'm excited to go racing. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, and we're happy to have you in this paddock. It's got to be a big change, though, mentally, to go from racing the open wheel where you've got, low downforce and slick tires, to all of a sudden being with a ton of power in the Lamborghini, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely an adjustment. But I've said this before, the Lamborghini is a car that gives you confidence. It makes you want to go faster. It makes you want to push harder. So I feel right at home, because that's right. I feel at home when I feel like I can just go for it. And that's what this car has given me, and that's what this team has given me.
Well, hey, good luck this weekend and keep having fun.
Thank you so much.
Shea Adam down there in the pit lane. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us here for this session and for the rest of the weekend, we've got full coverage, as always, of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And that will include giving you sound and vision for the qualifying session. And that's whether you're here in the States or further afield. Then, of course, our colleagues from NBC will take over for race day. For those of you in the US, everybody else gets the uninterrupted feed on Sunday, including if you are on Sirius XM in the US as well. I'll give you all the details of that as the weekend progresses. The other races here are all available to you via the live video tab on imsaradio.com or via imsa.tv. And we welcome back, after quite a long gap, the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship. Can't wait for that one as well. That's one of our favourites, and always seems to be plenty of action in that. And they're back this weekend, along with Michelin Pilot Challenge as well. So, Jeremy, here we are back at Mid-Ohio. A little bit of high cloud, but decent weather, with temperatures in the air, 27 Celsius. That's 81 Fahrenheit. But on the track, it's very hot indeed. 48, which is 118. In fact, a little bit over that, Fahrenheit. So the Michelin tyres are getting a real workout here. That the tyre engineers, tyre technicians, will be delighted to see a little bit of cloud cover coming across the sun now and again.
Yeah, it's pretty toasty here this weekend, and here it's Midwest this time of year. Pretty much anything can happen in terms of the weather, and perhaps might do as the weekend progresses. There is some talk potentially of some showers working their way in at some stage. As you say, though, it's pretty nice at the moment, and yes, there's a bit of cloud cover, but generally it's a beautiful day in the middle portion of the Ohio Valley here.
So early days here, and the first few laps being completed by the teams. As far as the championship concerned, Jeremy, it's after our WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca round, the championship standings are pretty tight in across all the classes, actually. And we'll come back to that in a moment, because we've got a slow car out on the circuit. This is the number 36, which is one of the LMP3 cars for Jared Andretti and Gabby Chavez, the Andretti Autosport car. And it is Jared Andretti behind the wheel of that car. He was moving slowly from the keyhole at the top of the hill at turn three. He hasn't quite made it down into Madness, and with China Beach on his left-hand side. Looks like he's recycling that. And has got that number 36 machine moving. Sorry, Jeremy. Yes, championship standings.
Yeah, as you say, it couldn't be any tighter in the DPI ranks right now, because the top two teams, which are both Acuras, are tied at the top on 1,325 points. 1,325 after four races. Anyhow, yes, they're tied together at the top, and in third position, and only 17 points further back, is Tristan Vautier and Richard Westbrook in the number five Cadillac as well. And if you look at the manufacturers' championship, it's absolutely dead even with Acura and Cadillac, both with two wins apiece, and therefore 2 seconds, because there's only two manufacturers this season. So they are absolutely tied for the manufacturers' championship lead coming into this halfway point of the season, round five.
Jeremy Shaw with me in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Chair Adam down in the pit lane. Just wait. Now, let's see if that Andretti car comes into the pit lane. I think it's gone by. No, it hasn't even got there yet. It's still moving very, very slowly indeed, coming to the carousel at the end of the lap. Been a couple of big accidents, actually, about where the car is now running through. In fact, he hasn't even got that far round. And we've got a red flag. Had to happen with that car not being able to get up to full speed. It's just at turn 10. So coming through Thunder Valley, that little left-hand kink, that right-hand kink, excuse me, turn 11. There's been a couple of big crashes there already that have stopped proceedings this week. Well, that car's dead stick right on the racing line at turn 10. No option there, Jeremy, but to... no option there, Jeremy, but to get the red flag out and get that car out of harm's way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, clearly some sort of mechanical problem for that Andretti car. And it's amazing. That team seems to have had no luck at all this season. They've had all sorts of dramas at various stages of the weekends. Most of the races, it seems, so far. There's only been a few LMP3 races this season, actually just a two, only one of which was a counter toward the full season championship, because Daytona was a round of the Michelin Endurance Cup, but not the regular season championship for LMP3. That was the same case for LMP2 as well as LMP3. So the next race of the season for everybody was Sebring. That is a round of both the Michelin Endurance Cup and the regular season championship for the LMP3 cars. And for LMP3s, they weren't at either Long Beach or WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. So this is just their second race of the season for the LMP3 cars for the regular championship.
So the red flag stops the action on the track. It does not stop the clock counting down. Let's head back down to pit lane and to Shea Adam, who can give us a little bit of an overview of what's going on in the pit lane. Will Stevens has been out in the number 8 Tower Motorsport car, and he's second at the moment behind Jonathan Bomarito in LMP2. That's a change to what we might have been expecting, Shea.
Yeah, it is, and I've just noticed Gabby Chavez sitting up on the pit box in the Hyundai fire suit. Now, you're doing double duty this weekend, filling in for Mark Wilkins in the Hyundai with Brian Hurd Autosport, but up on the Andretti pit box, that's pretty cool, welcoming you back to the LMP3 program. It's a good team. But what's it like to be just you and Jarrett this weekend?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Obviously, I'm very grateful for the opportunity and the trust that Jarrett and the team have kind of placed in me to fulfill this duty here as his co-driver this weekend, so very excited about that opportunity. Obviously, happy to be back with the Hyundai guys. They're always kind of like an extended family. We'll see how it goes. Not the best start, it seems, right now. Not sure. We think we know what's going on. Hopefully, it's what we think, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, the guys told me that they think it's something to do with the engine, which is what the issue was at Sebring as well, so hopefully there's not another engine change in the future. But this is a track that you know very well. You've driven here in a lot of different cars, including the TCR car, IndyCar, open wheels, everything. How much does that help if you're going to lose track time, that this is at least a track that you know like the back of your hand?
Well, I always like to approach each weekend as a 50-50 approach. 50% is learning the track, 50% is the car. And, you know, the track, I've done plenty of laps here, so that's good. That one's checked off. I have, you know, a fair bit of mileage now on the P3 car, so that's kind of halfway checked off, I would say. Haven't done any laps here in Mid-Ohio in the LMP3 car, but I can't imagine it'd be terribly different than, you know, maybe like an Indy Lights car or something that I've driven in similar lap times. So hopefully we figure out what's going on. Hopefully nothing, you know, catastrophic or anything like that. We got obviously, the guys worked very hard from Sebring to get the car prepped. Everything ran fine here a few weeks ago, so hopefully it's just a sensor or something electronic like that.
And I was going to ask you, how are you enjoying driving the LMP3 car? Because now you do have a couple races under your belt, including things like Daytona and Sebring.
Yeah, I mean, I actually enjoy it a lot. I think it's like a great combination of power, downforce, mechanical grip. It's a very enjoyable car to drive. You've got, you know, a lot of good technology in there as well. And obviously the team's been giving us a really good car. I just think, you know, we've had some issues that slightly out of our control that really have placed us in a position where we're not really showing our true potential. So I know it's not the best start right now, but hopefully we can get it under control and really show what we can do this weekend.
Yeah, you're getting all the bad luck out of the way on Friday the 13th. Good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It is, of course, Friday the 13th. We're not superstitious in motor racing, are we? Well, I cross my fingers when I say that, obviously. An hour and 15 minutes still to go out on the circuit now. The 02 is the Cadillac. This is the dark red and black Cadillac. Black at the front, dark red at the back. And that going out for the first proper laps for Alex Lynn behind the wheel of that. The 01, the other one of the Cadillac racing cars run by Chip Ganassi, has Sebastian Bourdais behind the wheel of that one. Just on the way, I guess on the way out of the pit lane, a warning for Will Stevens in that Tower Motorsport number 8 for being 1 kilometre an hour over the speed limit in pit lane, but just get a warning at that point. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Back straight back into the pit lane for Alex Lynn. So that was literally just an install lap, Jeremy?
Yes, for the Ganassi car, yes. And you mentioned the Tower Motorsport car there. Will Stevens stepping in for Louis Deletraz. That's another last-minute change. There have been several last-minute changes to the entry list for this weekend, haven't there? Louis Deletraz is racing in the ELMS. Is it the ELMS this weekend? Are they racing this weekend?
They are. They're in Italy.
They are, okay. I'm not quite sure why that would have come up so late then. I would have presumed he knew that a while ago.
I suppose he might have been making a decision on which one he was going to go in, depending on how he'd done in the championship previously.
Good point. I mean, you know, having won the last race here, one would have thought that he would have stuck around. But in any case, he had been apparently part of that team's equation in any case, in case... Will Stevens had been part of the equation in case Louis Deletraz had some date conflicts, which they knew he might have going into the season. So yeah, he's kind of a plug and play. And of course, Will will be driving in the long distance races this season for Wayne Taylor Racing, the Konica Minolta Acura team as well. So yeah, he's got plenty of seat time on both sides of the Atlantic as well as indeed both those two guys, Louis Deletraz and the Englishman Will Stevens.
Yeah, a lot of racing for Louis. He was racing at Spa-Francorchamps a couple of weekends ago. Was that last weekend, actually? It's all getting a bit tied together in the European and the American season. So much going on this weekend with Bathurst, of course, the 12 hours this weekend. Indeed, when we wrap up here, we'll be handing over to Richard Creel, and he'll take you through the two early sessions for them. It's already tomorrow there. Don't even start talking about that. We'll have that in sound and vision for you across the weekend as part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels, as well as the 12 hours at Hockenheim this weekend. There's GT3 European Championship at Magny-Cours. And so plenty of sports car racing going on for these drivers to decide. And as Jeremy's saying, Louis Deletraz making the jump back to Europe for Imola this weekend for the ELMS, which all gets underway in earnest tomorrow with their qualifying session. They're racing on Sunday as well. Let's take a look at some of the times now as people are getting up to speed. With GT Daytona at the moment, led by the Lexus RCF. How appropriate in this newly monikered Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio sports car course at Lexington here. Good to have your company if you are just joining us. It's the GTD leader, Aaron Tielitz. Bill Oberlin second for Turner Motorsport. Bill among the BMW M legends who will be taking part in a BMW M2 Cup supporting the Nürburgring Nordschleife 24 hours in the, not next weekend, but the weekend after. We'll be there for that, bringing you that across the weekend with full audio coverage and of course the international streaming and the international network TV feed all pulled together this year. Next up after Bill, Hawksworth in second now, Jack Hawksworth for Vasa Sullivan. So two GTD Lexus there in the GTD class. No GTD Pros this weekend, I should say. So both the Lexus RCF GT3s are in the GT category, then Oberlin, then Westphal, Jeff Westphal for the Lamborghini Huracan of Carbon, 39 car, then Mike Skeen in fifth for Team Korthoff Mercedes, and the McLaren of Jordan Pepper for Inception Racing. Good result for Jordan at the Nürburgring qualifying race last weekend, driving for another manufacturer. Last weekend, that's your top six there. Let's move down to the pit lane where Shea Adam has found the Dragon Speed head of mission, I suppose you would call him, chef de keep. Tell Julian.
I can fully appreciate that title. And Elton Julian, I figured if anyone was going to be paying attention to IndyCar qualifying, it'd be you, because most team owners have to worry about their drivers getting enough time in the car. Not this week. Henrik Hedman is doing all the driving today because Juan Pablo Montoya is down in Indy. How do you feel about sharing him?
Well, I don't know. It is what it is. But we got one driver getting a lot of seat time. And the other one's practicing somewhere else. It is what it is. We didn't want to split them up in the points. Wherever they finish, it would be cute to have them together. So bringing somebody else is always a possibility, but it kind of ruined that. So whatever happens, if we manage to claw our way out of these two DNFs, not the results we accepted the first couple of races, then it'd be nice to have them together.
For sure, and especially since you've developed such a kinship with both of the drivers over the years, it's nice to keep that loyalty going. So,
absolutely. I mean, obviously, with Henrik, we're on to our eighth year, or maybe ninth, I lost count, and this is, 2 years with Juan Pablo. It's become a family friend, and we see racing in very similar ways, so it's been really easy, actually. Probably not good having us together, but it's good for us.
You mentioned the two not great finishes. You did pick that up, though, at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca with the podium. How much of a difference did it make in that the bronze driver had to drive 60 minutes of the race? Did that feel like you guys have more of an advantage now because you have a strong bronze?
Well, yes and no. I mean, on paper, PR1 has all the best bronzes as far as ultimate pace. Bobby and I get on really well, and I thought, man, I didn't think of that angle. When they asked us, we were like, yeah, sure, whatever, we don't care, but I didn't think, oh, Henrik's going to have to step it up. But he had to, and he did. And he stepped it up at Sebring, and he stepped up at Laguna, so this is great. And, yeah, it's going to be hard physically here. But it's what they're here for.
Do you miss driving when you come to a track like this?
At times I go home and I'm like, I wish I was driving. But pretty focused on what we're doing. Try to keep it buried somewhere deep inside in that jar of angst somewhere inside. But yeah, it's still nice to be around. Obviously going to the Speedway next week is special again. And, you keep busy.
And last question. Juan's going to drive the car for the first time in warm-up, I'm guessing? Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Warm-up. IMSA's been gracious to work with us, understanding his situation and our situation, and he'll probably have to have his own little one-on-one driver meeting where they can teach him the flags, I guess.
Well, and you mentioned going to the Speedway. It was a big announcement for you guys running in the Indy 500. How much does that mean to you?
It's a special place for me, and not in the sense of like most people have been going for 35 years and grew up in Indiana type of thing. I tried to drive there as a kid, I slept at people's motorhomes, tried to get rides. It was not successful. And when we went there in 19, we were really stoked to have been there. We had a nice six-race program for 2020 that got grenaded with the pandemic. When I kind of brought the program back to the States, we still have a presence in Europe, but we're here now. I thought, man, maybe 23 we can shoot for a 500. But this kind of... I kind of stuck my foot in the door in a scenario that didn't seem to be working out, and we provided a solution. And IndyCar, Chevy, Firestone, AJ Foyt, Penske, Junkos, Andretti, stuff from everyone to get it done. It's a cool story.
Well, you saw the Kentucky Derby this year. Anybody can win.
That was not lost on anyone.
Good luck there, but first, good luck here.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but super focused on what we're doing here. Like a little fun fact, a lot of this crew were yesterday even this morning in Indy, just working with the Foyt guys, getting up to speed so we can come back here, do this, drive back Sunday night, finish converting the car to Speedway, because it's Tatiana's car that she's racing. And then we're on track on Tuesday for the most important session of the weekend, which is a veteran refresher that you have to get right.
Wow, what a story. Elton, good luck.
Thank you.
So that's a great story, isn't it, for Elton Julian and the team. Joining Mike Shank, of course, who we've enjoyed seeing in the IMSA paddocks down through the years. He was, of course, the defending Indy 500 champion team. It's the GP circuit this weekend on the infield, going the wrong way around the oval, which always sets my teeth on edge just a little bit. Here's how it stands at the top. It is the MSR Acura at the sharp end of the field with Tom Blomqvist, 111 904 from Philippe Albuquerque, about a tenth further back for the Konica Minolta Acura. Those Acuras, Jeremy, have, generally speaking, been pretty good around here. They're like flowing circuits. They're like circuits where the minimum corner speeds are quite high. The Acuras are not a point-and-squirt car, are they?
No, this racetrack, and certainly just as the same where we were a couple of weeks ago at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, the Acura is definitely the car to have for those two particular racetracks. Unbeaten here, actually, at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course since IMSA's return in 2018. Didn't race here for the first 4 years of the WeatherTech Championship, but came back in 18, and every year since then, it's been one of these Acura RX05s on the top step of the podium. Three of the four times it's been Ricky Taylor at the wheel. First year he shared it with Elio Castroneves. Second year was the race he didn't win. That was Juan Pablo Montoya and Dane Cameron. And then two years ago, Ricky again with Elio Castroneves. And then last year with his current co-driver, Philip Albuquerque, had the top step here at Mid-Ohio. So yes, this is a track that suits these cars. And they're looking for another win here to keep that perfect record alive, particularly because Acura and Honda HPD has a huge presence in Ohio, several manufacturing plants here in the state, including at Marysville, the technical and research center as well down there. It's only an hour or so from the racetrack here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, so there'll be a lot of Honda Acura employees and staff here this weekend just to cheer on their various teams. But just while we're talking about that and how closely the Acuras and the Cadillacs have been this season in overall terms, tied on points for the manufacturers coming into this event. You remember 2 weeks ago, the Acuras were handed a 10-kilogram extra weight they had to carry on that car, which possibly took them out of contention. I mean, 10 kilograms isn't a lot, but it certainly does make a bit of a difference. And the Cadillacs struggled to be on the pace last time out. But here, for this weekend, that 10 kilograms has been rescinded. So back to the same weights that they were running, respectively, the Acuras and the Cadillacs at Long Beach. And given the fact that each of the last 2 years, the number 31 Cadillac has finished within a second, well within a second, of the race-winning car, the Cadillac should be on. You know, should be able to challenge it once again for the win here.
It's a funny track this for fuel at the front end of the field, because we have seen people who've done wonderful fuel saving here, and with a bit of safety car full course caution, you possibly can save a pit stop. Or if you get the wrong strategy and you have to make an extra pit stop, that can also take you out of it. What are our feelings? What are our feelings this year? The technical specs of the cars hasn't changed that much at the front of the field.
No, pretty much the same as last year. And you know, as a result of that, I think it's going to be close between the two manufacturers here. I think that last year it came right down to the end. There was nothing to choose between those two. In fact, the sum total of the victory margin over the number 31 car the last 2 years has been less than a second, which is pretty remarkable. They're hoping for the same again here. Yeah, fuel consumption, you can stretch out the fuel a little bit here. It's awfully difficult to make overtaking manoeuvres here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course just because of the flowing nature of the track. It's you can kind of soft pedal a bit and still keep somebody behind you. Obviously, the main overtaking opportunity would be down at the end of the main back straight, that with the kink in it down to where China Beach lays to catch the unwary. But if you're monitoring your mirrors in the lead car, then you can position your car to make it very difficult for anybody else to get by you down there. And then the rest of the track, it's very, very difficult to make a maneuver, a passing move. So again, you can kind of soft pedal a little bit and save a bit of fuel during a run.
The supporters of Andretti be happy to know that the number 36 LMP3 car, which is one of the Ligier JSP320s, all the same powertrain gearbox on the LMP3. So choice of chassis. We have Ligier and Duquesne here. Duquesne used to be known as Norma up until relatively recently, a couple of seasons now. All the LMP2s, they're all Orica 07s. So whatever was ailing that Andretti car, that car is back running again. I told you a little while ago that Will Stevens had had a warning for speeding in the pit lane. He's now been given a drive-through for a pit lane speed violation. It's still just plus one, but he did get the warning for it a wee while ago, and that hasn't been heeded. So whether that is, I can only assume that that is an issue with the pit lane speed limiter itself. And in fact, he's just come into the pit lane to serve that penalty. Drives past Shea Adam down there on the pit lane. So that may be a software fix that has to be sorted by the team. Plug in the computer for that, perhaps. And hopefully he hasn't sped through again this time around. I gave you the GTD runners. Let's give you the LMP3. John Bennett, Core Autosports Ligier at the top there. Incredible 10th position overall with a couple of LMP2s behind the time of 1:17.603. Garrett Grist running well for Junior 3 Racing, GR3 Racing, in the number 30, Ligier. And in third position, it's Joao Barbosa for Sean Creech Motorsport. Another 2/10 further back ahead of Dakota Dickinson, has just taken out the MLT Motorsport, number 58, fourth position. And then it's Dan Goldberg for Performance Tech and Gar Robinson for Riley Motorsports. A little bit further down that 74 car than they would have liked. But it's early days. Jonathan Bomarito leads LMP2 for PR1 Matheson Motorsport by nothing at all, really. 0.35 of a second to Ryan DL for Aero Motorsport in the 18. That's the blue-coloured car. Third place, Will Stevens, just back out on track after serving that drive-through penalty for Tower Motorsport, white and orange car. And then Dennis Anderson for High Class Racing, the number 20. That's the red and white car. It's another 3 seconds further back. But the top three in LMP2, Jeremy, separated by just a tenth and a half, in fact, a tenth and a quarter between them. So nothing at all between those top three. And I think this is a circuit that will suit the LMP2 cars. I think we could get a decent race in the first of the quote-unquote junior prototype classes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a tremendous race last time out, wasn't it, at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca?
Oh, yes.
So I would expect the same again here. Yes, absolutely. And you said 0.35 of a second, 0.035 of a second there was between Bomarito and DL. It's incredibly close, yeah. So that's great. And you also mentioned MLT Motorsports, that team making its debut in the big show this weekend with the two drivers that won last year's Prototype Challenge Championship, Dakota Dickinson and Josh Sarche.
Yes, but 0.35 a second. Try stopping your stopwatch on that one on your phone. Gar Robinson, we mentioned that the 74 car wasn't as far up as they would like. That car is in the pit lane at the moment. No one's taking it out. And Gar Robinson is available for Shea Adam to talk to. What's going on there, Shea?
Well, first and foremost, let's start with some happiness, because, Gar, this place was very good to you 12 months ago. Your first pole position, and went on to get your first win with Felipe. Coming back here feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, not to mention you were here for my first pro race win here, too. So it's like just good luck all around. But now we're real excited to be back here. I think we need a little bit of redemption from our performance at Sebring, but I think we came back and we're trying to find the balance of the car right now, and then get a good car for race day. And everyone that said that it's really hot today, it's been 100 degrees for the past like a week and a half in Texas. So I'm like, I came to the track this morning and like everyone's saying, oh, it's so hot. I'm like, no, it isn't. No, it's not hot. But no, we're looking forward to a really good weekend. I'm happy with this 85 instead of 105 right now. But no, we're looking for a really good weekend, and I'm excited for what's to come all weekend.
How has the heat been affecting the balance of the car?
I mean, it can affect all sorts of things. I mean, especially in the downforce cars, because I mean even air density changes the way the car moves and stuff. So it goes with it, affects tire deg, aero, exhaustion, water use, sweating, all sorts of great things. But no, it is a nice change of pace from Daytona, where I couldn't feel my feet. But yeah, I think it's a little bit warm, but it's not too bad.
Definitely not going to be complaining. But what would happen if we do get that R word, you know, the precipitation that comes from the sky on race day? Is that going to help you?
Well, I mean, there's not really much that we can do about it. I mean, it's going to do what it's going to do. So it is kind of nice, because I think it takes a lot of it puts it way back into the driver's hands. So I mean, I have a lot of experience with stuff being opposite lock. So I think and downforce just makes all that stuff a lot better. So well, if it happens, it happens. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not in favor of it, but I think all the fans and stuff want to watch a nice, not wet weekend this weekend. And like you were saying earlier, it's mud. We want it to be Mid Ohio, not Mud Ohio.
Good luck this weekend, Gar.
Thanks, Shay.
And John, just to put the cherry on top, Gar talking about that 105 degrees back in Texas, his air condition's been broken in his house, so he's been really training for this race car stint.
Fantastic. So this feels like a cool autumn day for him. Thank you, Shay. Shay, if we can get some news, please, from the 01 Cadillac. They've done an out and back in lap, and then we've still got that problem for the 36 Andretti Autosport Ligier. That car went back out, but hasn't been credited with a lap as far as I can see. Let me check my other timing screens to make sure that they're all seeing the thing. Yeah, that is... Okay, so that one is not clicking up. Right, that's not clicking up any laps at the moment, so they must have a transponder problem. Thank you, Shay, for that. Gar Robinson is great, Jeremy, isn't he? He just loves his racing. Let me drive. Put me in, coach. I don't care. The cool suit's not working. You know, the car's not quite right. Don't care. Let's just get out there and drive.
Brilliant. I just love the enthusiasm there. I mean, you can see him smiling, even if you can't see him in person. It's brilliant. Just a tremendous enthusiast. Loves driving anything at all. I remember his dad, George, back in the 80s, similar character in some ways. But yeah, Gar, I mean, he's done a heck of a job too, and Shay talked about it here. His first pole here 1 year ago, and yeah, to get a pole position at Mid-Ohio, you've got to pedal those cars. And of course, you know, he's had a fair bit of success in other categories of racing. He was a Trans Am champion. It was the TA2 category, which is now incredibly competitive. And even, you know, when Gar went, well, perhaps wasn't quite as big as it is now, but you know, he's no mean driver, as Gar Robinson, and he takes his racing with a pinch of salt, but also seriously at the same time.
Let's not forget, in that 2015 Trans Am Championship, he beat Cameron Lawrence and Dylan McAvern, who were in that championship, and they, as our Aussie colleague Crailsy will be saying this week, and they're decent little steerers, those two. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us, hello, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. We are in our first free practice session at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course for a 2 hour and 40 minute competition this weekend for the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio. Jeremy Sean, John Hindhoff in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, and down in the pit lane, it's Shay Adam with 55.0 minutes still to go. Ryan Lee DL has just taken out the Aero Motorsport from the pit lane. Let's have a look at some of the runners and riders in the biggest class this weekend, which is GT Daytona. 11 cars out in that, including the Aston Martin of Heart of Racing. Good to see those guys back. Heart of Racing team sitting at the moment in 11th place. Roman De Angelis in that car. Best of 1:22 6.34. That's not where we expect to see those cars, or that car, should I say. A bit further up the field, the number 57 is Phil Ellis for Wynwood Racing in the Mercedes. That's the Techimat car that is just heading at the moment down towards, well, through what will be the start line at the start of the race, of course, on Sunday. Get a word from Jeremy Shaw in a moment. After an update from the 01 Chip Ganassi Cadillac picked, not seen that car share other than an out and back in, sort of an installation lap, but that car has not gone back out again. What's going on down there?
It's done on the pit lane that I have never seen before in my life. They changed the steering column. They pulled the actual shaft out, which connects to the steering wheel on one end. Well, it connects to a bracket on which the steering wheel rests on one end. There is cabling on it, so it could be the electrical gremlin once again, because remember, that's why this car has had trouble in three of the four races so far this year. Did win that other race. But yeah, they are elbow deep in the dashboard right now trying to put the new steering column in.
Well, there's something, Jeremy. That car knee-deep in trouble the last time we saw it. They changed steering wheels on it. They thought they had a gear selection problem. Maybe something to do with the electrics rather than actually the steering. The thing is, these cars are so complicated. The proper racing cars, these, and they are very, very complicated. And a lot of electrical systems which rely on each other to make the whole car work as one.
Yeah, pain in the neck sometimes, aren't they? You're absolutely right. And, you know, if you get some sort of gremlin in there that wants to keep itself hidden, it can probably do so. It's that annoying. But, yeah, that Ganassi team, they had some problems. I mean, it was a topsy-turvy few weeks they've had in that team, the Cadillac Racing entrance. Yeah, they'll figure it out. But once again, as they were 2 weeks ago at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, they're starting the weekend on the back foot, and they've got a lot of catching up to do. But as I say, with the amount of experience and no technical know-how in that team, they'll figure it out.
They haven't to work out a problem on the sister car as well, which is on the pit lane at the moment. This is the 02 of Alex Lynn. That's turned some laps, 17, but that car isn't moving at the moment. Just had someone drop a wheel off coming through onto Thunder Valley. Shit, Adam is still down that area. I'm guessing it was the Inception number 70 by the amount of grass that it has in the front of the black and red McLaren.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, way off all four, yep. Michelins onto the green stuff. And the grass, which had a bit of a trim earlier on in the week, is all of that is now in the front of the car. They'll have to bring that number 70 in for Brendan Aru. Shear down at the Chip Ganassi pit. It's not good news for the 02 car either.
No, the crew members of the 02 are actually in the rear of the car. They were looking at the left rear suspension with flashlights and mirrors to try and diagnose something that couldn't be seen to the human eye, because there were five mechanics looking in the back, including two standing up on the pit wall. Nobody seemed to see anything. They have now started to look a little bit on the right, but closer to the tail section. They're moving the back engine, well, what is the engine cover, what goes over the back of the car, closer toward the pit wall, because guess who's pitted right behind them? That would be Inception Racing. And John, the team didn't realize that the car had gone off the track until you said something, and then it came up on the pictures, and now they are going to bring Brendan Arive into the pit box. I do want to get a chat with Jordan Pepper. It'll take me a minute to clamber over the wall, though, but I do want to evaluate first how many baby goats is Brendan going to be feeding, because he is the first of our drivers to generously do that this weekend.
Yeah, he's really slowed down. Thank you, Shay. He's really slowed down on his in-lap. I think that's very sensible. There's an awful lot of grass cuttings in the front of what should be an air intake of that lovely 720S. Comes to the pit lane now. I don't think that's a relatively short lap here, Jeremy, so I don't think he'll have done any real damage there, although it'll have pushed the gauges up a wee bit. And that's a car that's been quick recently in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Jeremy.
It absolutely has, John. You're absolutely, yes. Frederick Schandorf, who drove the last few races with Brendan Erib, set fastest lap both at Long Beach and at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. So the Dane clearly likes the West Coast races. Not racing here this weekend. That's why Jordan Pepper, who drove with the team earlier at Daytona, has rejoined them for this weekend. But yeah, that's a goodly amount of grass in there. But they hopefully he got that back to the pits before it caused anything too major to go wrong in the engine side of things, John.
I'm laughing because Shea Adam has stepped into the area behind the 0-2 where all of the grass has been pulled out. There's some up on the pit wall as well, Shea. Was there a little bit of damage on the left front of that car as well, or has Brendan got away with that and it's just going to be all about the grass cuttings?
Well, this is definitely more than a goat can handle. I would say this might be even a small horse. They do have a leaf blower. Excellent. I've seen a lot of brooms used over the years, but I like the effort of a leaf blower to try and get all the grass over the wall. No damage to the car, but the left front was smoking from the brakes. So clearly being out there for a lap and a half with that much grass out there had a bit of a negative effect.
Yes, it's Jeremy. Put on our text chat so that we can all say hey there. Yeah, get your coat, Joe. That's very good. Very good. That'll be collected up and taken away behind. Still, it's only grass. It wasn't mud or dirt or anything like that. And Brendan is going over the top of the S's now. A little bit of a different view for the drivers here going through to turns 7 and 8. No bridge as there has been in years gone by. It's not quite up to speed yet as he comes through Thunder Valley through turn 10, hugging the Armco on the right hand side, then into 11, and you finish off with the carousel and the little left hook that goes back onto the finish straight. Remember, Mid-Ohio, as far as I'm aware, and if I'm wrong, at IMSA Radio please, is the only racetrack that I can think of where we start at a different place, significantly different part of the racetrack than where we finish. Yes, I know there's a few racetracks where you start further up the pit straight than you finish, but we're actually on the other side of the racetrack. We'll be seeing the green flag just at the kink of turn 3, whereas the checkered flag will be on the pit straight. Got to remember not to call it the start finish straight. Although we do go back the green flag after any interventions from the safety car at the finish line, if that makes sense. If you know differently, then drop me a line at IMSA Radio. That'll get the two us here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Looking for some improvements. What are the laps? It is warm out there, Jeremy. It's still hot on the track surface. 43 Celsius is well up in the, it's almost 110 Fahrenheit. What about times like at the moment in terms of lap records and qualifying records?
Pretty good, really. At the front of the field, the fastest lap was set by Philip Albuquerque at a 111.828 in this session so far. The race lap record was not that quick. It was a 12.1 by Kevin Magnussen last season. The qualifying lap record, nowhere near that yet, a 110.027 by Harry Ticknell in the Mazda last year. That was the pole track record. In the other classes, fastest lap in LMP2, a 13.8 for Ryan Dielle. That is, again, faster. That is faster than both the race lap record, which was Matt McMurray back in 2019, and Kyle Masson's qualifying record, also in 2.19, and a 14.8. So a full second inside of that has got Ryan Dielle to lead the way now in LMP2, in car number 18 for Era Motorsport. In LMP3, the qualifying lap record was set last year by Gar Robinson at a 17.2. That against Colin Brown's 17.6 in this session, which the fastest lap of the race last year was 17.4 by Dylan Murray. Again, not as quick as Gar Robinson's pole time. In GTD, the race lap record is a 120.5 by Jack Hawksmith, who also has a qualifying lap record set way back, both of them set way back in 2018, at a 119.3. And Jack Hawksmith is here this weekend, even though GTD Pro is not. Lexus, sponsoring this event, the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio, has elected to bring on a second GTD regular entry, and for that, Jack Hawksmith is going to drive that number 37 car this week, 17 car, excuse me, this weekend, with Richard Highstand, with whom he shared the winning car here at Mid-Ohio back in 2019.
Let's go down to Shea Adam in the pit lane, who is with Jordan Pepper.
Yeah, and one of the guys who's going to be giving Hawksworth and Highstand a real run for their money in the Lexus is going to be the Inception McLaren. Jordan Pepper back in this car for the first time in a short race, just you and Brendan Nerib. But every race, fastest lap has gone to this McLaren. What secret sauce do you guys have up your sleeve?
I think we've shown with the team's first year in IMSA that we're not here just to make up the numbers. We're really competitive, obviously, from the get-go in Daytona. They were actually good last year in Petite in their debut. So it's been really good, just a lot of unlucky stuff. Sometimes maybe stuff we've caused, sometimes unlucky things that happen in racing. But, you know, we got a strong package, and it's the first time for Brendan and myself here in Mid-Ohio, first time for the team as well. So started with a steady start, but we got a good plan, and hopefully the track's going to come to us. We're going to get into the track, and you know, Sunday's when it matters. And as you said, the Lexus boys have been pretty dominant here, and maybe the first time the McLaren's here with us, hopefully we can give them a run for our money. But you know, if this weekend we trade off fastest lap for a race win, I think we won't be too unhappy. We've got pretty much fastest lap besides Sebring, so if it's a race where we can give that up and get the win in the end, yeah, I'll be happy about that.
You've never been to this place before. It's quite different to where you were last weekend at the Nürburgring Nordschleife. What do you make of Mid-Ohio so far?
It's a really mini version of the Nürburgring. It's I like it. Every track, I always say this, every track in the US is so cool. It's so driver dependent in a way. There's so much tricks and tips, and I can imagine all these guys are racing here year in, year out. I just did my first few laps around there now, and I was starting to discover like how 5-6 centimeters was making a difference between a serious amount of grip and nothing. So it's kind of a discovery point, and that's what we're kind of working on a bit. But you know, first taste of Mid-Ohio is not too bad. It's quite a long way out in the middle of nowhere, but it's quite a cool racetrack.
I mean, defending Bathurst winner, I have to say that today and tomorrow, because of course the race is going to be taking place on Sunday. But this place has a lot of that risk versus reward without the walls being right on top of you, doesn't it? It's similar to Bathurst too.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty much every US track I've been to is like that, which is awesome. And, you know, obviously Bathurst is going on, so I was keeping a small eye on what's happening over there. Jules, who's my ex-teammate, he's the only one now who can defend the title a bit, which is a shame that I'm not there. If the original date was happening, we would have been there in quite a cool car. But, you know, hopefully we get to go back there next year again. But one way to distract me from not being Bathurst is winning at Mid-Ohio, and that's the goal for sure. I think I'm 100% focused for this. I think we got a good package. Brendan's coming along so well, the way he's fighting and putting himself up against all these silvers. So I think we got a good package, and yeah, early days, but let's see what we can do.
Jordan, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And Shea, you can remind Jordan that he can follow along to the next couple of practice sessions, which is in the early morning on Saturday morning over at Mount Panorama. That's coming up in about an hour's time, actually, with Creelsey and Matt Nolte. They'll be over on RS1 for that coverage before we go live in sound and vision for them. For Saturday and indeed for Sunday, very early start for them. 5:15 green flag on Sunday morning. Never been a Bathurst that's been this late in the year, so a lot more darkness running for them. 5 minutes before 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Good to have your company. Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. I'm John Hindhoff. Jeremy Shaw's with me. Shea Adam down in the pit lane. 35 minutes to go. Top of the shop, Conningham and Alta Acura. And Philippe Albuquerque has displaced the MSR car. They've swapped around. but the margins are still very tight indeed. 0.076 of a second now between first and second. Within third, the best of the Cadillacs now, the number 31, the red and white Whelan Engineering Racing. Tristan Nunes brought that car back in the pits a wee while ago. And the top three, Jeremy, still only separated by half of 1 second.
Yeah, and interesting, isn't it, that as was the case a couple of weeks ago, which I thought at the time was fairly unusual, the Konica Minolta team sent out Ricky Taylor, as it was in that case, in the first session. He set a blistering lap time and really laid down a marker for the whole rest of the weekend. And the team has done it again here, this time out as well. It was a good lap there from Philip Albuquerque early in this session. Tom Blomqvist only, as you said, less than a tenth of a second behind him in second place. But interesting they should be pushing so hard so early in the weekend. And I'm sure, however, that even though the best of the Cadillacs, which was Pipo Durrani's time, been about a half a second behind, I'm sure that margin will diminish as the weekend, as we get closer to the weekend.
Just that one red flag situation for the Andretti Autosport car, which is still yet to come back out and turn any meaningful laps. Still shown us on the pit lane for the number 36 Ligier in LMP3. The other car that's not done very much work at all, Cadillac Racing, the Chip Ganassi run Cadillac DPI, the 01, Sebastian Bourdais. Share reporting for us that they did a steering column change on that car. The 02 is back out again after they were looking at the rear end of that car, both left and right. Looked like they were looking under the gearbox as well. Is that having some gear selection issues? But Alex has turned 20 laps. Andretti Autosport still showing no laps completed. I reckon they must have a transponder problem, because I'm pretty certain I saw that car go out. We'll get that checked for you on the timing screen. At the moment, sitting in 31st position, a couple of moments ago, bit of oscillation down towards the heavy braking area at turn number 4 before madness for the number 60. Tom Blomqvist in a number 60 Sirius XM AutoNation Acura that was giving him a good bit of shaking there. That would have been uncomfortable for the young European driver. See if we can keep an eye on that car. Just heading up to keyhole at the top of the hill now. A bit more cloud coming in, so quite a lot of the track surface is in shade at the moment. See how that affects the temperatures. Track temps dropped a couple of degrees Celsius. It was up at 43, 44. It's now down to 41. That's dropped it down to about 106 when it was nearly 110 Fahrenheit before. So we do see a little bit of a difference once the cloud comes over. I'm impressed again, Jeremy, as you were mentioning the times that we're seeing come in. Last lap around, Anders Fjordback, fastest lap for the number 20 high class racing car, 116.037. I'm impressed how quickly these cars, teams and drivers are going so early in the week. It is dry. It was wet last week here. They've been pretty dry since the guys loaded in. But the track's still evolving at this stage. It should get quicker as the weekend goes on.
Yeah, it absolutely should. And I'm sure most of the teams now, I think, are probably concentrating more on kind of longer runs, just making sure the consistency of the car is there. The time of day now, what is it? It's what, 5 o'clock in the evening, isn't it, right now, local time? And what time's the race on Sunday? It'll be over around about this time on Sunday, 4:50. The race finishes. So I think what we've seen so far in this session is sort of representative of this, of the perhaps the conditions they're going to face toward the end of the race on Sunday. I think it's important to take advantage of that.
Let's head down into the ranks of LMP2s, where Shea Adam is with the Genie 3, GR3 driver in the pit lane, because Ari Balog is out on the track in the number 30, so that means that we can talk with Garrett Crist.
Garrett, you come into this race second in the championship points alongside Ari. You've been driving with him for such a long time, too. It's got to be gratifying to see all of this success finally come in the way of you guys.
No, it's great, for sure. I think, you know, last year we did a bunch of IPC together, and then we stepped up to WeatherTech for the last race at Petit and finished second. And then, like you said, to start the season, we finished second at Sebring. So, yeah, I mean, everyone's done such an incredible job here for a relatively new team in the paddock, right? I think hopefully we've impressed a lot of people, and I think we're just going to keep getting better and better, and hopefully one step better this weekend, but we'll see.
What's it like to race at Mid-Ohio?
I love it. I mean, I've raced here Formula Ford, USF, ProMaz, Indy Lights. I mean, I've raced here since I was 16. For me, it's probably my favorite track in the U.S., to be honest. I love it. Racing-wise, I mean, it's tough to pass. I mean, it's tough to pass another P3. Luckily, you know, we have multi-class racing, which makes it a bit more exciting. But yeah, if you're within a couple tenths of the guy ahead of you, it's very tough to pass here.
In terms of so many classes here as well, how much harder does that make your job as the pro driver in the Pro-Am equation?
It's tough, for sure. I mean, I get in at the end for the last, what, hour and a half, 2 hours to try to hopefully, you know, get the win or get the podium, and traffic does not help. You know, most of the time you get it where you don't want to get it, right? So that's difficult, especially here. Daytona is a much easier place for traffic, but yeah, it never helps the situation here at the end when everyone, you know, all the pros are in every class pushing hard.
Well, and another pro in a different car, Dakota Dickerson, was sharing the car with you at Sebring. Now he's racing against you. Have you guys been working together at all, talking about how maybe you can benefit each other? Two cars are stronger than one.
Yeah, Dakota did a really good job for us at Sebring. And the MLT guys let us use them for Sebring. We knew potentially it was just going to be for Sebring, not all the long races, because I know they had, you know, aspirations to do the rest of the season. But no, Dakota's a great guy. We really enjoyed having him, and we worked well together. But yeah, now, no, he's on a different team now. So
so back to being frenemies, right?
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. Yeah, great guy. I'll hang out with him. But yeah, it's different this weekend now, for sure.
Hey, Garrett, thanks for the chat. Good luck.
Awesome. Thank you.
Ricky Taylor's just jumped into the Conning and Minolta Acura, which has the best time at the moment, 1:11.8. That was put in by Philippe Albuquerque, so possibly an opportunity to speak with Philippe as he is out of the car now. Ollie Jarvis is in the Mershank Racing with Kerbag Achernian, number 60. So that means that Tom Blomqvist is out of that car. Tom Blomqvist, born in the UK, I'm pretty certain. He races on a Monégasque license, Monaco Historique Festival this weekend on the streets of the Principality. I'm pretty certain Tom was born in the UK. Ollie Jarvis, who is definitely a Brit, in that car now. And Tristan Nunes has gone back out in the Wheel and Engineering Caddy in third place, as Richard Westbrook, another Brit, comes into the pit lane in the JDC Miller Motorsport Cadillac, the Mustang sampling car. It's the dark grey machine. And that's the car he's sharing with the Frenchman Tristan Vautier. Just under half an hour to go, and some good data being grabbed by everybody. So Ricky Taylor now, Jeremy, you were talking about this tactic that we've seen these guys do before, putting in a really fast lap early on and then getting some data. That car has turned 32 laps, 38 for the Whelan car. Those two among the most, Richard Westbrook's JDC car, 34. Also 34, Felipe Fraga in the Riley LMP3, as is the number 30 we were talking about earlier on. And still work going on down in the pit lane for the high-class racing car. They're getting some suspension changes at the front. So Ricky Taylor then, have they sent him out there to put in an even faster time? Or is he just going out there to get a feel for the track? I suppose we'll find out shortly, won't we?
We will, yeah. It won't be too long before we find that out. But certainly, it's good to see quite a few teams here turning a lot of laps Very little time being spent on pit lane. We're halfway through, more than halfway through this session, and this first 1 hour session of the weekend for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And good to see the teams taking advantage of that. Incidentally, the number 01 car has gone out on the track. Sebastian Bourdais has just improved his time again. He's now completed 9 laps in that car that Shea Adam was reporting earlier on. Had a steering, not a steering wheel change, a steering column change on that 01 Cadillac Racing entry. But Bourdais now getting himself up to speed. He's quicker already than his teammate, Earl Bamber, and up into fifth position on the timing charts in that number 01 car.
Yeah, and Earl Bamber just having a wee bit of a moment in that 02 car in the Cadillac Racing 02. Very, very quick part of the circuit coming through turn 11. Just put his right-hand side Michelin tyres onto the grass and then was having a little bit of side-by-side action with Felipe Fraga at Riley Motorsports number 74 as they headed up to the keyhole. 23, call it 24 minutes still to go. So plenty of laps to be turned. The laps come thick and fast here. I mean, that is an advantage. And when the leading cars are doing 112, 111, some of them, 113 or thereabouts for the faster of the LMP2 cars, 117s, mid-117s for the faster of the LMP3s, and 121s for the GTDs. And Jeremy mentioned earlier on, we have got two Lexus, even though there's not the Pro Class here, Lexus being the primary sponsor. They've got themselves two squads of drivers who qualify in the GTD categories. 17 car is the number that we're going to have to get used to, Jeremy, because we're used to seeing 12 and 14, of course, and 17 is the quote-unquote extra car this weekend.
Yeah, it is going to take a bit of getting used to it. But, hats off to Lexus here for stepping up. And there's been a couple of late withdrawals in the class over the last few days. Number 28 car didn't show up. The Allegro Motorsports Mercedes, that was on the entry list. The other car that was due to appear was number 42 NTE Sport Lamborghini that ran so well last time out.
Yeah, really did.
WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, where Jaden Conrad qualified in second position. A brilliant effort by the youngster there. Unfortunately, some funding issues hasn't materialised for this weekend, so that car not here either this weekend. So down to 11 cars in GTD for this race. The other car that's not here is the Hardpoint Porsche. Again, that slightly different reasoning for that team. The team, they've got a lot on their plate. They've kind of been reorganising and to just taking a bit of time off to assess where they are, and the team is represented here with the Michelin Pilot Challenge. They're running the End to Alzheimer's car, number 22 car for Nick Gallant and Sean McAllister. So that team is here running in the Pilot Challenge, but not this weekend with the Porsche for Team Hardpoint and Rob Ferrell and Catherine Legg.
Yeah, just an additional note on the Lamborghini, the NTE Lamborghini team, making it very clear that that is an issue. Their funding issue is specific to this round. Now, Jen Conright has had a number of different driving partners this season. In fact, I'm not sure he's driven with the same person twice so far. But the team in their release earlier on this week saying that they fully expect to be back for the rounds that they had planned to do for the rest of the season. And it was a specific issue with the funding coming here. So we wish them well in that. More changes going on in the pit lane with the number 5 Richard Westbrook car. That was a suspension change at the back of that car. Meantime, Shea Adam has indeed wandered up to Konica Minolta, and Philippe Albuquerque, the man from Portugal, is standing by so we can hear his thoughts on what's going on for this first hour and 10 minutes of practice.
Ask and ye shall receive. It is Philippe Albuquerque who has set the fastest time so far. And Philippe, we were noticing you go out there, you set a fast lap, and then you sort of relax into more of a race program. That's the way for Wayne Taylor Racing, isn't it?
Well, I don't really call it relaxed. I mean, it's well, it seems like tomorrow's going to be rain. But obviously, we need to learn with whatever we have. So if there is, I think, a 40% chance of not raining. So if it's not raining, then we did our job today. But it's just funny because every time I came from the LMP2 car, I feel like I do so much more work on this car. It's just way faster and just, yeah, it's just, yeah, quicker. And it just demands more on the body. It's just interesting. Just the first session. Then we go into the rhythm. But yeah, it's good fun.
It's a little bit different than where you were racing last weekend. But coming back to Mid-Ohio, especially as the defending race winner, what does that give you in terms of confidence?
Well, obviously, I think the main one is really we went to Laguna last weekend. We won there the year before, and we knew they had a good car. So that's a good optimism. And here it's exactly the same. We won here last year, even if it was super tight. And we all know how important it is qualifying, special for the first corner in T4 to defend that position. If it rains, it's important to be in P1 because of the spray of the other car. But as well, it can go chaotic and means nothing. So, I mean, to be honest, how the championship is nowadays, like so competitive, you need to grab any points, any position to be ahead. And then we will see what happens, because it's been happening a lot of stuff around in these races. So you can never predict. We just need to be on your game every time you are in a car.
You mentioned a lot of stuff going on, but 31 cars, 2.258 miles. That's a little bit busier than Laguna Seca was. So how do you prepare for that mentally?
Yeah, and then Laguna was very busy, I can tell you that. Well, we can tell that it's going to be an awesome race. Traffic makes racing really, really spectacular. So playing with that traffic, being to see when is the opening. I think the last race was an example of that. So when Tom was ahead of me, I had one shot, maybe only one, in 2 hours when I was behind him. So I took it. And that was maybe the race deciding moment. And I think it's going to be again. So I think what's the beauty about IMSA, all this traffic in such a short lap, which is like 3.5K or is... And so many cars, no track limits, because you go straight away into this beautiful grass of Mid-Ohio, and you lose a lot of time. So for the race, for us, it's awesome, because you have the adrenaline kicking you on and you are having fun. Obviously, if you win, you celebrate. If you lose, you still had a good moment, but you go sad home.
It makes the flight home a lot better when you have a trophy next to you, doesn't it?
Indeed, and especially for me, like, you know, all those long flights, it's like, it's super easy when you get tired. It was interesting because I was having this conversation exactly about it. Like, I take always the trophy home when it's a win, especially when it's a win, because when I go on and eventually we get, you know, not good people when we get tired, because we moan about it's too cold in airplane, you know, first world problems. But then I grabbed the trophy, which is really a pain to be carrying it all the way. And people mess, like, what is that for? But then you realize, like, how good life is and how lucky I am. So then I calm myself. It's kind of meditation thing. No, I should calm down. Like, please, sir, go ahead. Even if this guy was trying to pass me on the line, like, go ahead. I had a good moment already. So it's a bit like that.
Love talking to you, Philippe. Good luck this weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah, he might let somebody pass him in the line for check-in or for security. He's not going to let anybody pass him on the track that easily. Go ahead. No, that's not happening. Philippe Albuquerque with some life lessons there, Jeremy. I like the idea of him lugging the big trophy home. Very good.
Yeah, I love it. Isn't that good? Just love it. By the way, look, a few minutes ago, Earl Bamber did manage to get ahead of his teammate again, Sebastian Bourdais, number 02 ahead of number 01. But as was the case 2 weeks ago, they're at the bottom of the timing charts at DPI, 5th and 6th then for Bamber and Bourdais. But the time for Bamber, 1 minute 12.919. But again, just fractionally over a second outside the best time set early on by the guy we were just hearing from, Philip Albuquerque in number 10, Konica Minolta, Acura.
Just watching the Lexus at number 17, which is the the additional car, which is the quickest at the moment in GT Daytona with Richard Heistad. He's got a bit of company in Russell Ward, who's right up his tailpipes as they come through towards the end of the lap. But really interesting to see him following the number 74 Felipe Fraga, Riley Motorsports LMP3 car. The GT Daytona's really punch out of the corners. Just coming out of the keyhole and down towards turn four. And the GT cars, with a little bit of more mechanical grip, really do punch out of the keyhole very quickly indeed. And it's only about three quarters of the way down that long, slightly curving straight, and it is downhill there as well, that the prototype started to get away. So in the race tomorrow, we're going to have to keep an eye open for traffic situations here. It's always something you have to keep your wits about you. Quarter of an hour to go. Hart Racing going through in the 27 car, Maxime Martin for the Aston, sitting a bit further down than they would have liked as well at the moment, in 30th position and 11th of the 11 GTDs at the moment. That's not a place we're accustomed to seeing the Hart Racing cars, Jeremy.
No, it's been a struggle for that team this season. In the GTD Pro, they've already had a win, but in GTD, yeah, it's been a really disappointing season so far for that number 27 car. And, you know, their best finish so far has been seventh last time out at WeatherTech Raceway. But that's certainly the team that won the championship last season in GTD in the is not what they expected. You know, they came into this year expecting to have the same success as they had last year, but hasn't happened so far. But maybe this is the weekend things will turn around.
They'll be hoping so. They're an ambitious team, aren't they? Let's be absolutely blunt about that. A couple of people off on the track. We had the number 74. That's the Felipe Fraga driven Riley Motorsports third place LMP3 car. And now the NSX, which is the number 51, the 51 car, Ryan Eversley for Rick Ware Racing. He went off the exit of turn one and bounced onto the infield and once again has picked up, Jeremy, a fair bit of grass cuttings there. I should expect to see him into the pit lane for another bit of hey-ho, and away we go.
Yeah, indeed. He's perhaps not picked up quite as much grass as Brendan Reeb did in McLaren a little while ago, but he should bring that car back in again, as indeed does Felipe Fraga, the Brazilian, in the third position car in LMP3. That's number 74, the car that won here last season. Fraga, he has about five, 6 laps ago, he set that car's best lap so far today, and that is third fastest in LMP3.
Under 12 minutes to go. Oh, in fairness, Ryan's done a very good job there, because the shape of the front of the Acura NSX has four grills rather than just the two or three that most cars have. And he's managed to get grass, Shea Adam, into every one of them as he pulls into the pit lane.
Oh.
That's very impressive indeed, Shea.
It's a thorough job, and the bottom grill is actually deeper than I thought it would be, so that one has held in a lot more grass, but we are still looking at Brendan Reeb as holding the record so far this weekend, at the very least. Ryan Eversley doing a good job to try and knock him off that stature of a lead horse feeder, because honestly, John, it would take a lot of goats to feed all these guys that we were bringing in today.
Small donkey, maybe a pony's worth there. Yeah, absolutely. Thank
Ooh,
you, Shea.
A pony!
Yes. Sparkles. Thank you, Shea, down there on the pit lane. Yeah, those grills doing a good job of keeping it out of going anywhere where it shouldn't have been. That new personal best a couple of moments ago for the number 20 high class racing car. Anders Fjordback setting his personal best of 1:15.0. Sebastian Bourdais improves as well. Fourth position for the Cadillac number 01, 1:12.7. 9-4, that's the best for that car. And that means now that we have the top four within a second, within 9/10 of a second, actually, Jeremy, as they stand at the moment. Actually, that gap between the first two and everybody else, half a second, but half a second round here is actually quite a big gap because it's such a short lap.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's only 71, 72 seconds for a lap around here. So second and a half, yeah, it's still, yeah, it's not that much. Lap times do tend to be fairly tight here, certainly, but Bourdais there improving by, what, about 0.2 of a second, moves himself two positions up the order, and he'll now set his sights on the fastest of the Cadillacs, that being number 31 car. It was Pipo Derani that set that time pretty early in this session on lap 11. In that, you just mentioned Anders Fjordback improving again in the high-class race, the car number 20. That moves it back ahead of Josh Pearson in number 52, Matheson Motorsports, PR1 Matheson Motorsports entry. Those two have been going kind of back and forth, yeah, quite on a fairly regular basis throughout the 50, how many minutes have we had in this session? An hour and 10 minutes we've had in this session so far.
Shea's doing a grand job down in the pit lane as in comes Sebastian Bourdais for another set of Michelin tyres. They look like they were scrubbed. Shea is down the road just a little bit in the other LMP carries. Now, did I see? Yes, I did. I saw Colin Brown go out, so that means John Bennett is available for a chat here.
Yeah, he is. And this place in particular for John Bennett, so close to getting your first pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship last year. What is it about this track that favors your driving style?
Well, it's just, you know, it's a super fun track, and you know, definitely it's you know, rewards commitment and precision, and it's always fun to come back here. It's the surface is challenging, so it's a little bit with driver's track, and yeah, we just enjoy coming back here.
This place is special, but of course, besides last year's race, there was a little bit of a break in it. Last time that you came here was in the LMP3, but the time before that was in the DPI. So you've been to this place in a lot of different cars. We've got PC over the years as well. What's it like in the LMP3? Is it your favorite car to drive around here?
You know, the LMP3 certainly is a proper race car, and while it's not quick like our DPI car, you know, every car can be driven at its limit, and it's a well-behaved race car. So, yeah, I would say it's a little smaller drill than the other one, but it still makes nice holes.
It's been a while, too, since Sebring. How difficult has it been for you to stay out of the race car since March?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long time off between races, but, you know, these days there's a lot of things you can do. I do some karting and you know, even the simplest sims are pretty comprehensive these days. So some sim work, some karting, and just counting the calendar days off.
It seems like it's going well so far for Core Autosport, P1 in the category. Are you happy with the way the car is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, it's a little different environment than when we could have tested or when people have tested. So we're all kind of on a new sheet of paper, and Jeff Brown's done a nice job predicting, you know, what would be, you know, a good recipe for the car. And, yeah, the car is doing really well.
Good luck this weekend, John. Really hope you get to the podium.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Shea Adam with John Bennett down in the pit lane. Colin Brown for Core Autosport, number 54, out at the moment. And that car is the quickest in LMP3, a 1:17.603. Another little rotation, this time at the top of the hill at turn at number 9, well, just coming up to the brow of the hill at turn 9 for Brendan Arrib. Pretty much kept it going. Back Michelins, I think, went off the track, but that was all. Nice to hear from John Bennett there, Jeremy. And he and Colin Brown have been a formidable driving pairing down through the years in IMSA.
They certainly had. And as Shea was saying, John's come close to having a pole here, but the results haven't been there for this team. In 13 years, they've had just one podium finish here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, which is pretty remarkable for a team that's had so much success over the years. That one podium came as the modern era of him, so that was back in the old ALMS days in 2012. So it's been a while, and that is certainly one record that Colin Brown and John Bennett will want to set straight and get back onto the podium at the very least this weekend.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? If you haven't been successful at a track, maybe you come in with a different mindset. Possible maybe to overdrive it. Oh, very close call for the 0-2 Cadillac there. I think the right car, Jan Halen, on his outlap, the Porsche, was very slow indeed, right on the racing line at the exit of turn 11. And superb piece of driving by Earl Bamber to react to that and tighten the car down to the left-hand side of the circuit to get himself into a place to be able to go through the right-hand hairpin that is the carousel at the end of the lap. There's a bit of dust down at the far side of the track as well. I think that's somebody who's gone off of turn one. Two cars off of turn one, and it's the Inception McLaren again. And that's a left rear puncture this time on that car for Brendan Uribe. And there's somebody else involved as well. Looked like a prototype to me. Now, where was that? I saw the dust from the far side of the circuit. No, this was at the far side of the track, and that was a little touch. Now, that was turn 11. And that was the 33 as well, I think. I'm questioning myself. It was Lance Wilsley in the Sean Creech Motorsport car with a little tip on the left rear. And that is extremely quick there. Now, that's interesting. I saw that dust come up from the onboard shot from Earl Bamber's car, which was on right on the other side of the circuit. And presumed that that was at turn one, the Sean Creech Motorsport number 33. It's a red, white and blue stars and stripes car. It's right in the beach. It's not coming out. That's a red flag at turn for the incident at turn 11. 11 going into 12 towards the end of the lap. The Inception car will limp back with a damaged left rear wheel and no Michelin tyre on it, and more grass to take out at the front of that as well. That's the least of their worries. Shea Adam already standing by. Yes, that ding from the sharp front right-hand side of the prototype, puncturing the tyre. A little bit of damage behind the wheel as well, wheel and tyre as well. But I think we'll have to call that a day, to be honest, because with only 2 minutes 36 seconds left, I'm not sure we will get back to green flag. So just a slight truncation at the end of the session. We had a brief stoppage for the Andretti Autosport car, which is still not showing has turned any laps, but I'm pretty certain I did see it go out a couple of times. Adam down in the pit lane with the 0-2. Earl Bamber dropped the front right off at turn one at one stage.
Right.
There might be a bit of damage there, Shea.
No damage, just a couple, and I mean a couple strands of grass hanging off of the splitter and a couple off of one of the suspension bits that holds the dive planes up on the front of the car. So really minor. Oh, and one blade of grass across the air intake on the right side of the nose. No damage to this car, though, but just a couple remnants of grass shards. And waiting for Inception, which is the next pit box back. They still have yet to make it into the pit lane, but the team does say that Brendan can make it in.
He's got out of the car, Shea. You can tell him he's going to be a wee while. I think he's decided not to drive it in case he does any further damage. The Michelin tyre has been pushed right off the rim on the left rear of that car, and I think he was worried about doing some suspension damage. There's also grass in the grills on the front. Big thumbs up from him. So he'll come back in the Cayenne GTS rapid response vehicle, and the guys will wait. And the checkered flags have been shown. So we've lost a couple of 3 minutes there, Jeremy. But generally speaking, other than the Andretti Autosport car, there were some worrying moments for both of the Cadillacs from Chip Ganassi Racing. They didn't have totally clean runs. And that change of the steering column is something that, as Shea said, we've not seen that done on a pit lane before. One or two people visiting the green and pleasant land to the edge of the track, but I think most people will be relatively pleased with their work here this afternoon.
I agree. A lot of laps turned by most of the cars here. You know, it was a slightly stuttering start with that early problem for number 36 car, pretty much right out of the box, wasn't it? And now only a couple of minutes early, only with this incident down at turn 11 there. And I think Lance Wilsey just sort of got himself a bit distracted there with the Cadillac going past him and closing up as more quickly than he thought on the McLaren, and wasn't able to avoid a bit of contact as they turned in there, turned around the McLaren. But I don't think damage should be too bad on either car. But I think certainly a smart move by Brendan Reeb there not to risk any further damage, particularly right at the end of the session. Let's get it up on the hook, get it back to the pits, and they can get that car repaired again in time for next practice tomorrow morning, John.
Yeah, I totally agree that was very smart by Brendan. And so we've lost a couple of minutes, but nothing to worry about. We're back at 9 o'clock here tomorrow morning. We'll have it all live for you in IMSA Radio. Thanks to our technical team, both at the track and at Charlotte. Also over and up in London, Curry on the desk there at our main control room for IMSA Radio. For Jeremy Shaw and Shea Adam, I'm John Hindhoff. Thanks for joining us on IMSA Radio from Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.